This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 12, where we left off last time. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 12. Before we begin, I want to remind everybody that every Thursday, I open my school door, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, at 12 noon and keep it open until 2 p.m. My twin friend Scott Merson meets me here and we pray for anyone who walks in, and I answer the phone live and you may call me over the telephone for prayer. By the way, that's Eastern Standard Time, so it'll be different here than where most of you are. Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Prayer walk-ins or call-ins. Come Sundays, 5 p.m. for this beautiful word and prayer. Wednesdays, 6 p.m. We move to 6 p.m. word and prayer. Excuse me. And now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. God called the Apostle Paul from before the foundation of the world. We studied all of that in chapter 1. To actually write most of the New Testament. Do you know he wrote Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Hebrews? I mean, this is Paul. Now, here's what's so beautiful. Every one of Paul's writing is the pure, raw gospel. Gospel in the manuscript means God's spell. When you hear the word spell, you think of a witch putting a spell on somebody, right? No, when God puts a spell on you, he pours the truth out into you, and that will dispel any lies in your life. So, well, what is the gospel? Well, let's find out what it is not. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a new Rolls Royce. You might have one. It's not a mansion. You might have one. It's not a spouse. You might have one. The gospel of Jesus Christ is human beings walking on this planet, and because most betrayed God in the world that then was in our spiritual body, they are walking around in sewage of sin up to their necks, slipping and sliding without hope and without God. That's the gospel. And what happened there, God saw that, had compassion, and so he said, I, God, will go down to earth for a spell, God's spell, and I'll pay their sin debt, which started in the first earth age, and because the only way that I can get the sin out is to wash it with my blood, I will shed my blood and die for them. So Jesus took a body and did that. And now we see that fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins. And we see like a great big spray, the blood taking and washing all the sewage from planet Earth, from people who repented, washing it, washing it, washing it, until it is clean and the sewage of sin is gone and washed away with a fountain filled with blood into the sea of forgetfulness. But that's not all. When you repented of your sins, and every day as you Christian come again and repent again, he takes that fountain filled with blood flowing from Emmanuel's veins and he showers you in the blood, and you're standing in the blood, and the blood covers you, and your robe is rose red. God looks at you through rose-colored glasses, the rose red of Jesus Christ. Oh, the power of the blood. The blood will never lose its power. The blood will never lose its power. Now, that's the gospel. Has nothing to do with Rolls Royces. Now, Paul writes this letter to the Ephesians. He started a church there. Remember, a church is not a building. The church are the saints in it, set aside ones. But we do meet in buildings. But most of us think it as a building. So in other words, we are members of the body of Christ. We are the church. So Paul told us last week, he said there are two kinds of saved Christians in this church at Ephesus. So Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 10 that these things happen to them in the Bible for an example for all those of us at the end. So that means there are two types of saved Christians in every assembly that we call ourselves a church. And he taught us the first one beautifully in chapter 1, and that's the elect chosen from before the foundation of the earth, who chose to stand for God in the first earth age in a spiritual body, and God chose them and set them out in every generation to pronounce the word of God, to bring in those who did not choose God in the first earth age, but were sent out and get another chance to choose God, get to tell them the word of God, and bring them in with love into the fold. And now, we're the many-membered body of Christ. Do you understand?
Amen.
So see, right now, listening to me, there are the whosoever willers that you're saved now, but, you know, you betrayed, you weren't. And then there are the very few elect, very few. Romans 11, only a 7,000 here at the end time, scattered hither and there, never always a minority there. But those, some of you will hear, it will quicken you, the elect are the movers and the shakers, and the others are running just as hard as they can to try to get into the moving and the shaking. Okay, so we left off last week with Paul now addressing the whosoever willers. He's already addressed the elect. If any of you missed that, go to my program, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, WMIEFM.com on demand, and get that. You can be saved without knowing the mystery of God about the election, but you'll never understand the plan. So now, we began last week in chapter 2. He's now addressing the whosoever willers, which comprises most of the body of Christ. And he said last week in verse 11, he said, before you got saved, you probably noticed that the Israelites would sacrifice their male sons when they circumcised their male sons when they were born. And it was a promise that Messiah would come through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would be cut off, would die, and shed his blood for our sins. So in verse 11 last week, Paul says, but you do not need to do this now, because Christ has already come, and he's done away with the blood ordinances. You no longer have to sacrifice an animal's blood. Christ, our Passover lamb, once and for all, his blood is sufficient. His blood will never lose the power. For one time in all eternity is sufficient, and you never have to be circumcised, because God's only Son bled for you. And he says, now that Christ has been born, circumcision for male and female is not of the flesh, but is of the heart. When you hear of Jesus and what he did with that fountain filled with blood, it cuts your heart in two, and that blood goes inside. Then you become a bleeding heart. Now we begin with verse 12.
Verse 12. But at that time, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise.
Before you got saved, he says to these who were not the seed of Abraham, he calls them Gentiles, anyone who is not of the seed of Abraham, even now is called a Gentile. But now they were saved. They were in the church. But he said, then you did not understand the promises of the covenant. You did not know that God had made a blood covenant with Abraham way back in Genesis. I bet you read that, David. In other words, the Lord told Abraham, cut an animal and put the pieces there, and I, God, and Jesus, it was Jesus, I will walk among that, Abraham, and I will make a blood covenant with you, that at the appointed time, I will send my son, and I will let my blood bleed for the sins of all of mankind. That's the blood covenant, sworn in blood. So Paul says, you did not know that. You did not understand why we were sacrificing the animals. But he said, that has been done. But now that you've accepted Jesus, even though you're not the seed of Abraham, you are grafted in, you're adopted, and now you may call Abraham father, and now you are a partaker of that blood covenant.
Having no hope and without God in the world.
no hope without God. All the people, when they were in the spiritual body, who betrayed God, came through their mother's womb with no hope. Now, you'd never know that looking at the world, would you, with all of the things people are going to do when they grow up and the politicians. No, if you look at them real closely, anyone who's not saved has no hope in this life or in the other, because they were sent out because they did not choose God, then sin entered the equation. And so therefore they're without hope. But Paul says, but once you got saved, you can say, Christ in me, my hope of glory. Let's all say it. Christ in me, my hope of glory.
13, but now ye in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off.
Oh, but now you're in Christ Jesus. You were sometimes far off. You know, when you get saved, then you are in Christ. You've come into the sanctuary. No wonder we sign our little birthday cards and things. I do love in Christ or in Jesus. We're in Him. You were sometimes far off from Him. Here's the thing. Before Jesus came, they had the temple to worship Yahweh, the one true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but Jesus had not paid the sin debt yet. So all of the Israelites could go there, the high priest could go and do all the things in the Holy of Holies, but the Gentiles, those who were not of the seed of Abraham, could not draw nigh. They had to go up to Solomon's porch. That was as far as they could go. And the high priest of the tribe of Levi would take the blood from the animal, a type of Jesus, and would present it to God for the people's sins. And then he would go out and he would go to the porch where the Gentiles were. He'd take the blood and sprinkle them with the blood. So that meant there was hope. Remember, Jesus says, I've not come but to the lost tribes of the house of Israel. But when Paul came along, Apostle Paul, God expanded it. Now, whosoever will may come. It always was God's plan for whosoever will may come. Otherwise, He would not have sent everybody out. But it's an inside job. You've got to start with people you can trust and work out. That's just common sense, isn't it? Yeah. God has common sense.
Are made nigh by the blood of Christ.
Now, how is it that you may go in and back to God by the blood of Jesus Christ? When Jesus on the cross, shedding that blood, said, it is finished. He gave up the ghost, and he walked up to the Holy of Holies, which was way high, and there was a veil there and very thick, and he took it and he ripped it from top to bottom. No man could reach it and no man could tear it. God opened the veil between mankind and the Holy of Holies. And now not only the elect may go in and say, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, but whosoever will, if you confess, if you repent, and if you believe, you may now go in. But what is it that made you be able to go back in? It was by the blood of the Lamb. Why the blood? The life is in the blood. Peter tells us in 1 Peter that we are bought with a price, not gold and silver, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. If one of you starts bleeding, if we don't go over there and stop it, your life will flow out of you. The doctor does blood tests because he figures the blood is going to tell you what the disease is. So man's blood is diseased and sick, and if it goes out of you, you will die. But what is it different about Jesus' blood? Hallelujah, hallelujah. The life is in the blood, says the Bible. And the life is in the blood. Jesus said of himself in John, I am the way, the truth, the life. Now look, God is life. Everything that's ever been created, everything that's wiggling right now, your stomach gurgling, that's life of God gave you. The little bird out there chirping, that's life. The little worm wiggling, the leaves on the tree blowing, that's life. My eyebrows, my eyelashes bobbling here, that's God. Everything is life. God always was, He is, He always will be. He's the Almighty. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the tree of life. Can you imagine? He said, where can I get life to give these dead children? I love them so much, I want to give them another chance. The life's in the blood. I got to give them a blood transfusion to give them eternal life. Then he said, I can use my blood. The blood of Jesus is divine life. So he made a God spell. For a spell, God came down here, took himself a body, and shed that blood. And now that blood, flowing from the veins of Emmanuel like a fountain, washing over you. Do you know, Christian, you're not even using the power of the blood? Body of Christ. Revelation 12, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony is the Bible. It is written in Jesus' name, say the scripture with great gusto and fervor, and then by the blood of the Lamb. Every time somebody comes to my bench, they got a demon and they got sick, you'll hear me say in Jesus' name, you'll hear me say a scripture with great passion and spirit over them, but you're going to hear me say, and because of the victory of the blood of Jesus, you are standing in it, you are clothed with it, your garments are spotted with blood. It's beautiful to God. As I said, he looks at you through rose-colored glasses. Oh, you're beautiful, the beautiful red blood of Jesus. And the blood is more powerful than all Satan can ever come your way. You're standing in it all the time. You're never without it. When have you ever used the blood? When you pray, or when demons come, or when sickness comes. And I don't mean to recite it like you're reciting something you memorize any more than you pray that way. With a fervor and with a love, and know that that blood is pouring from Emmanuel's vein. The blood will never lose its power. We overcome the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is power in the blood.
14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition.
Say, for those who were not of the Israelites, it was like an invisible wall. They could come up to Solomon's porch to worship, but they were not allowed to go in. And now, you who were sometimes far off, you betrayed him, and you could not go back. Only the elect could go in. He says, some go in and out and find pasture. But now, through that blood of Jesus, those of you who are the whosoever willers, now, that wall is broken down. And now you may go in, and you may go in where the Father is, and sit in his lap, and call him Abba, Daddy.
Between us. 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity.
Abolished the enmity. Hebrew scholar Paul was drawing on Genesis 3:15. God was dressing down the serpent, that old devil, and he said, her seed's going to bruise your head, meaning Mary, umbilical cord to umbilical cord after Mother Eve, is going to have a son. Jesus is going to bruise your head, serpent. And Jesus did defeat death at the cross. But then God said to the serpent, your seed shall bruise his heel. So the seed of the serpent would be Cain, and the serpent's not a snake, so it's just an allegory. It's Satan, because Satan beguiled Eve there in the garden. The descendants of Cain are the children, descendants are children of the devil, the Kenites, and they are always at war with God's children. If you would just watch the last 8 years of our country, the war has been raging. We've been praying down here every Sunday and every Wednesday as a group, and I've been praying every day, and we finally are winning that war, but we're still having to push them out. They're all around it. They don't let go easily. They're a bunch of vipers, but it's that enmity. But Jesus says, I came to stop that enmity. See, you have power right now over all the power of the enemy. One of your powers is in the name of Jesus and the word of your testimony. And what's the other one? By the blood of the Lamb. Everybody say it. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb. By the blood of the Lamb.
Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances to make in himself of twain one new man.
What Paul is saying here, there's a difference between the law in the Bible, that would be the first five books, the Pentateuch, the Ten Commandments, that sort of thing. Jesus says, I did not come to do away with the law. You hear preachers say you don't need to do commandments. Yes, you do. You need to know how to behave. You're still not supposed to steal. You're still not supposed to make a graven image, of course. But you're not saved by that. But Jesus said, I didn't come to do away with the law. But he did nail the ordinances to the cross. Colossians chapter 2 nailed them to his cross. And one was the blood ordinances. You no longer have to sacrifice an animal's blood in lieu of Jesus, because our Passover lamb, once and for all, Jesus shed his blood. That's sufficient. And of course, just like you don't have to have circumcision now to prove that you believe Jesus is coming. So that was nailed to the cross, and you might want to go read that the Sabbath was nailed to the cross. And I will save that sometimes in the future for one of our mystery questions, because I would need to explain that lest I get you confused. But that's Colossians 2.
So making peace, 16, that he might reconcile both unto God.
Be reconciled to God. In other words, we were separated, we could not get back. And now, the blood of Jesus, we can walk in, we can walk back, one at one. Remember, Jesus prayed in John 17, before the crucifixion. He said, Father, that they may be one as we are one. And he said, I pray not for them only, his disciples, for those who are yet going to believe on me because of my word. You and I have read John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We believe. He prayed for us that we may be one. There was never supposed to be any separation. Jesus is the head. We're the body.
In one body, by the cross.
By the cross. You have to go through the cross, the old rugged cross. So despised by the world, has a beautiful attraction for me. It was there the Lamb of God bled and died, paid the sin debt for you and for me. You must go by the way of the cross. There's that old rugged cross, and God suspended on it between heaven and earth, vertical, meaning come through the cross, look at the blood, and you may go back to Father's house. And then by the outstretched, pierced hands of Jesus, whosoever will come, the Spirit and the bride say, come, I love you, I'm dying for you, my blood, I'm giving you a blood transfusion, I who've never died, I who am life, I'm exchanging, I'm taking your death, and I'm shedding my blood that you may have an eternal blood transfusion and never die. By the way, the cross. The cross is either one of the most beloved objects in America or one of the most hated in America and the world. For a Christian like us, we can go somewhere and be through trouble driving along, and we look up, and I remember traveling one time in Virginia, and I looked up and there were three beautiful crosses, and I was going through a hard time in my life, grief, and I looked up and I was so touched. It just like, wow. There's three crosses, big crosses. The cross is so beautiful. And we hang them around our neck and we put them in our heart. I've got one in my heart. Yes, I do. And they're there. But for the people who do not believe, they'll take that cross down. Look at the people who are suing. They go and rip the crosses down from our public places. Oh, what a beautiful, you must go the way of the cross. There's no other way. The one who died on the cross is a bridge back from the sewage of sin. And that cross is covered with that rich red blood. And you're going to get bloodier and bloodier as you cross it. That's good blood. The life's in the blood.
Amen. Having slain the enmity thereby. 17 and 10.
Jesus overcame death, whose name is the devil. Now, the devil, it's not, the sentence has not been carried out yet. God's got the devil on a leash like a mad dog, and he lets him go around tempting people, but he's going to say stop after a while, and that's going to be the end of the devil. He'll walk into the lake of fire. God did defeat him.
May great peace unto you, which were afar off, and to them that were mine. 18, for in him we both have access by one Spirit.
Now, that was the Trinity there. We may have access to the Father. You may, whosoever will is and elect, by him, by Jesus, through the Spirit. In other words, when you pray, Jesus is your password. So I always teach people to pray, but don't try to memorize it like a robot. Mean it from your heart. Father, in Jesus' name. That's your password. Oh, come in. Now, what do you say? Well, how the Spirit? Because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Prayer is communication. It's not just giving him your honey-do list. It's communication. He talks a while, and you talk a while. You listen, and he listens. And so to communicate with him, we want to have the best language. And the best language is the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:26. He says the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings. That's utterances, coo, the coo of a dove. Oh, hallelujah, which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to the Father's will. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? You get back to the Father, the name of Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can't lose with the stuff you use.
Unto the Father. 19. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers nor foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God.
Okay, you lost your citizenship when you betrayed him in the first earth age. But you've confessed, you're back in. Now you're a citizen. You're not an illegal immigrant. You're a legal citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Remember I told you, Jesus sits on the throne. A kingdom is a king in his dominion. Jesus is right now sitting on the throne. He is king. He is alive. He is sovereign. He's God. And you and I are his dominion. So the kingdom is at hand. That means the kingdom is now. And now that you come back in by the blood and by the power of the Spirit, the way of the cross. Now you have the keys to the kingdom, and you can go inside the kingdom 24 hours a day. It's an inside job in the secret place of the Most High, which is inside of you. And in that kingdom is God's presence, God's provision, God's protection. All there. Do you need faith? There's a whole shelf full of it there. Do you need guidance? There's a whole shelf full of it there. Do you need protection? There's a whole shelf full of it there. Do you need healing? Look over there. There's a whole room of it there. Do you need a friendly touch from God Almighty? There it is. The keys of the kingdom. Now you're a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now remember, that means you represent him. Poor little me babies that I can't. Boy little me, bah, 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 bah. That does not represent the king. A humble, peaceful person filled with love. Opening their heart to everybody they meet. Witnessing. Showing forth the name and the blood and the Spirit. That's a proper representative. Make sure you're covered with the blood, or you're not properly dressed to represent the king.
20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Okay, in other words, now you're back into the fold, and Jesus calls us the many-membered body of Christ, and that now we are one. And so therefore, how do you build up yourself now as a member of the body of Christ? By the apostles, that would be the New Testament, the Word of God. By the prophets, I just finished Judges. That's an extremely necessary book that was full of prophetic utterances for the end time. Isaiah, Jeremiah, that's what we do in here. This is what makes you strong. Not one verse and 3 points, not hither, thither, and yon. Not somebody telling you what to do because you got sad that day. But the Word of God, the Word of God will fix all that for you if you'll just give it time. Genesis 1, the Revelation 22 body of Christ, book, chapter, verse, and line. That's how you build the church. We're a house and habitation. 1 Corinthians, Paul says you're the temple of the living God, but you are built daily by the Word of God. I don't mean rote, cold reading or saying it. Heartfelt power, fire of the Word in your heart.
This is Christ himself being the chief cornerstone.
In other words, Jesus got that thing started out right. He laid the cornerstone. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail it. Jesus is the Son of God. He paid the sin debt. And so now he's the chief cornerstone. Now each one of you's got your place in the body of Christ. I want to say this, the many-member body of Christ. Let's look at the human body. Some of you say, well, I don't have a place. Yes, you do. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and do the best you can with what you have, where you are, for Jesus' sake today. When he sees you're going to do something with your three room. rooms, then he might give you some of the gifts somebody with one room's got. Or when he asks you just to do something with your car when people need rides, then you'll see why he blesses somebody who had to ride a bicycle. You see, what do you have in your hand? Pour it to me, pour it to me. No. Best you can with what you have. Now, look at the body. Right now, my spleen's doing something. I have no idea. Your kidneys have got a place. Your liver's got a place. Your heart. Everything. But you see, each one of these body parts are very important. But we put them all together, and look, it spells you. That's it. All. But see, each one has got its part. But we pull together. We work together. We don't push the other one out. We don't take over. We don't get jealous. We just be the best spleen we can be, the best liver we can be, whatever we do. And if you don't know your place, again, take what you have in your hand and use it for something glorious. Is for God. If you just got one little hut of a roof, I have always done this. That's why I have the gifts I have. See, you just start where you are. You'll use it.
21. In whom all the glory, let me frame together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord.
That should be building. In other words, now we're the many-membered body of Christ, and we're our being. Built. I wonder when he sees if he's going to say, hey, body, you're built.
22. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit.
In the book of Revelation, the latter chapters, after Satan and all his yoke have been blotted out in the lake of fire, after the earth has been rejuvenated, and those of us who saved are young and strong and beautiful and have eternal life and got our allotted places, it says that God the Father is going to bring the heavenly Jerusalem down here, and he's going to dwell with us. And it says the walls of the new Jerusalem are garnished with jewels. The jewels are glued to the wall. Ezekiel tells us that God is that wall. So see, Father's coming down to join Son and Holy Spirit. These three are one. But who are the jewels? Malachi chapter 3, when I make up my jewels. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, God was addressing Satan, Tyrus, Lucifer. And he said, before you went bad, Lucifer, you walked among the stones of fire. Hebrews 12:29, God is a consuming fire. You walked among the stones of God. Who are the stones? The jewels, glittering onyx and pearl and rubies and emeralds and sapphires and diamonds, and that we are going to be the body, the jewels. Back to the wall. I told you it's a love story. Jesus says that they may be one. And so there we are, the greatest love story ever told. How do we, the jewels, get back to the wall? How do we get back one-on-one married to God? By the blood of the Lamb. The Amen. Blood of the Lamb glues us to the wall. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Blood will never lose its power. We'll begin right there next time. But it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Excuse me. I want to introduce the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing really good, Miss Sherry. That was great. That was a great word. I mean, it's all about the blood in this end time battle.
Absolutely.
Right now. Sure
back
is.
To the blood.
Our first question. Somebody wants to know, why do you say, open your King James Bibles?
Because in Mark 4, it tells us that the devil's job is to steal the word. The King James Version is the only English version that you can trace almost every word back to the original language as God dictated it, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. And so we know the devil's job is to steal. So we want to be as close to God's original statement as it is. And it is majestic. Don't lower. You come. Don't try to get God to talk your language. Talk his language.
Amen. What about the New King James Version?
I'm sorry, it's diluted. People say, well, I can understand it. Well, why don't you start trying to understand God? Remember, we're the ones that fell. So we want to pull God down to our language. I frankly don't like man's language. You hear the news? All those beautiful women sound like they're auditioning for the Aflac duck. And they go so fast and swallow the last words. I mean, I'd much rather hear beautiful God. The King James is majestic. It is absolutely supernatural.
And when we search that unsearchable heart, that's part of it. Searching out His Word.
Yes.
Searching out Him and His heart through His Word.
Yes, absolutely. And if you make it too easy, you won't search.
That's true. And somebody wants to know, what about the NIV?
No, the NIV is even worse. They even take out the virgin birth on that. In Ezekiel 13, where the King James, it says, God says, I'm against those who teach my people to fly to save their souls, referring to the flyaway doctrine. Here, the NIV changes it to something about birds flying. So no, the devil got in there. So be careful.
And what is the Companion Bible?
The Companion Bible is a King James version, and it's very wonderful. I have it, and it's good. And it also has at the back of it a great appendix, which gives you so much information, will help in your studies. So let's stay with the King James version. Even it has some mistakes, but see, you can trace them back and find that. But all the others, then you're up a creek without a paddle. Well, David left his stuff in the cart, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. So let's welcome Scott stuff.
The end of the age will be marked by a separation between those who serve God and those who do not. We are giving up our divinely assigned authority and allowing the enemy to create demonic strongholds just because we refuse to teach and activate the power of God's Word through Christ's blood. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. Awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil.
Praise the Lord. That is so beautiful there by the blood. So apropos for the lesson. Thank you very much, Scott Merson.
You're welcome.
Let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, that you will arise with healing in your wings. I ask you to touch the people who are in physical pain. Jesus bore the pains. I ask you to relieve all of the distress from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. Sinus headaches, we ask that be gone in Jesus' name. Lower backs be healed. We speak to diabetes to stop. You're diabolical. You have to loose the body. We call for a perfect circulation in the blood and healing in the blood. Blood cancer be gone. We call forth a healing of bones. Ribs be healed. Eyes see, ears hear. We call for circulation in the legs and the feet and the toes, and that bones and joints be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. Cancers be gone. A miracle of healing. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. With Jesus' stripes you are healed. We believe this and we decree it by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. So if you'd like to call and tell me you were healed or even to pray for you, please feel free to do that. Let me pray for those of you who are lost. We want you washed in this blood so you have eternal life. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Use me.
Use me.
And fill me with your Spirit.
And fill me with your Spirit.
Here am I, Lord.
Here am I, Lord.
Send me.
Send me.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, if you were saved, please feel free to call and tell me so. Well, now it's time for your love line of the week. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. It's your verse to memorize. I know all of you memorizing these scriptures. If you love yourself, you would. This week is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. First.
Remember, Thursdays, 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I welcome walk-ins or call-ins. We'll pray for you. Sundays, 5 p.m., Word and Prayer. Wednesdays, 6 p.m., Word and Prayer. Now, remember this about Jesus Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying, God bless you, God keep you, God direct your pathway, God bless you, and we love you. And until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
I live by faith in the Son of God. the shore. Fabrice, a blind man who is not blind anymore. Everybody's talking. How can this be? A little mud, a gentle touch. Now he can see, and he squints up at the night, and he wipes his tears away, and he whispers when he sees his healer's face. A father who has lost his little girl. He begs the healer, come to her side. A whispered word, the daughter stirs. Now she's alive, never by the door. Her father stands amazed. When he tells the story, he will say,
tired and thirsty, there is freedom. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big. Let it be, Jesus, the first name that I call. Let it be, Jesus, my song inside the storm. I'll never need another.
Yeah. Baruch Adonai, Elohi Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Baruch Adonai, Elohi Israel, Adonai, blessed is the Lord. Min ha'olam, but ha'olam, praise his name forever and again. Min ha'olam, but ha'olam.